The following program is brought to you by We Are Many. To learn more about this program or to find others like it, check out wearemany.org.
In the red.
My name's Chris. I'm from New Jersey. I had a very brief comment. I think Carmela made a really, really great point at the beginning of her very good talk, which was that the fight for immigration is absolutely by nature part of our context of a fight against capitalism. But experience that the Latin American workers would bring to our current struggle with the American working class. So I think that's an extremely great point. And they would comment that should keep that in mind.
Okay, thank you. In the orange hair. Okay. Yeah.
I'm from Boston. I just wanted to start with the point because I think that what happened in Arizona has been repeated. There's just so many different laws that are appearing in different states throughout the country now. And it's because it's a political wedge issue. And politicians really feel like they can affect people's lives. And I think what's happening with, around immigrant rights, especially become this key issue that if you're involved in any other kind of work in activism, it's so important to share solidarity because this is an outright racist attack and it's setting us back so far as a country. And I think like a lot of people are sort of uneducated, you know, I've got relatives that are just like, no, but they're illegal. I'm like, that's not a fucking argument. Like, you can't use the word illegal and tell me that it's a political argument, you know? And I think the more that we show solidarity and like,
okay, guys, I think that whoever's going to speak should keep their comments short and to the point because we have a lot of hands and we don't have all that much time left and there's a pretty big room here. So we want to give an opportunity to everyone to speak, so please keep them short and to the point. Okay, in the blue, dark blue.
Can you just add me when I should get cut off, so forget.
Okay, cool.
I'm Frankie, I'm from New York. First, I just want to say thank you so much, guys, for all the work you do, because I really think that inspires so many people to do that, because when people that are undocumented are willing to stand up and risk their lives here, it's so powerful to other people to say, like, well, if they can do that, why can't you do that? I think something that's really significant. I guess I wanted to talk about more about Arizona and the good opportunity to provide this image that it's so disgustingly racist and fucked up that it's really mobilizing people and making people so pissed off. And I want to share some personal experience around that. I'm a preschool teacher in New York City, and the majority of the parents at my job are undocumented. And for years, we tried to mobilize people for May Day, and me and my coworker also says immigrant rights. It'd be very small, like maybe like two parents outside of us. But this year, after Arizona, there were like 20 to 25 parents. They brought their kids and all their strollers. And it was like incredibly significant and powerful to me that those people were so angry because this hit such a chord with them. And just with that, I think one of the things that I always hear from people about activism, I think is crazy, is you know, we people need to be educated, you need to go to school. And a lot of these parents, they're illiterate, they're undocumented, they have had no formal education, but they know more about how global capitalism works from their whole life experience than any fucking professor or politician knows shit about the world. And these people know that you actually have to fight with it. So I just thought it was incredibly significant that happened and wanted to share that. Another thing I wanted to share is just the connection of solidarity between immigrants and I mean also involved in the LGBT struggle is that especially I think it's such a direct connection because those are one of the two groups left in the U.S. that have no legal rights. Like if you're undocumented, you can be fired with no reason. If you're gay, in a lot of states, you can be fired with no reason. You have no legal protection to actually fight for your rights. And one of the things I'm from, I live in Jackson Heights in Queens, New York, which has a huge LGBT immigrant population where many people come here because they cannot be openly gay in the country. And a number of those people have been deported, some of them with HIV, where there's actually no services in their community. It's just an absolute crime in this country. We talk about democracy and freedom. I just want to share one story that's particularly horrifying. There's a guy named Ricardo Muniz from Brooklyn. He's a Mexican immigrant, and he was attacked in homophobic crime, and he fought back. His mother, they came here from the U.S. because he cannot be openly gay in Mexico. He got arrested for fighting back. And he's being deported for defending himself. And the police are saying, oh, well, we're going to deport you because you attacked them. You all, you know, it's absolutely insane. And the amazing thing, though, is his mother speaking out and people are organizing. I feel like we really need to be connecting these things and saying, like, this is bullshit. And when we did the protests in New York around the Diamondbacks playing, I think his mother should be a key speaker drawing these things together. That this is a fight for everybody, you know, wherever you're from. So, you know, again, thank you very much. And I think, you know, we need to get out there, like you guys said, and start organizing. So the potential right now is huge. People are pissed. They want to fight, sort of thing. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ryan, you have a question?
Hi, I'm Ryan from Chicago. More about the politics of community and solidarity. I think it's, to me, there's certain movements right now that are alive. And I think the Palestinian movement, I think the immigrant rights movement, the LGBT movement, and student budget cuts movements, and maybe others, but I feel that those movements right now have the most energy. And right now I'm starting to see that they also have the most solidarity. Here in May Day, during the May Day March, you saw gay rights groups bring giant pride flags, and there were pride flags all throughout the march. And that, for me, was a way where the solidarity in the community was actually visible. And we also, after the Flotilla attack, we had people at the Flotilla rally with Jorge and other immigrant rights activists speak and talk about solidarity. And to me, this is just instrumental. For everyone, it's instrumental to galvanize movements. I liked how you said here, when you brought up NAFTA, and you're a child of NAFTA. I grew up in the Midwest, and my father worked in manufacturing, and I also am a child of NAFTA. More about solidarity. My whole childhood, factories closed down, workers went out of work because American workers were forced to compete with third world labor, where companies can get away with non-union labor, they can get away with low wages, they can get away with destroying the environment. But you also saw fucked up things happening in Mexico, where you had 1.5 million Mexican workers immediately go out of work because they couldn't compete with cheap subsidized corn in the United States. So we have to look at these policies and see that people from all over are being affected by them. I think that's also instrumental in building solidarity with for undocumented immigrants to relate to American workers. And we definitely have to build from there.
Okay, great.
Hi guys, my name is David. I'm from New York. Like Frankie, I also do LGBT work and rights work. And like, I knew the mother of the guy who's getting deported from Major Road. Major Road is like basically what you guys do. They do LGBT work, immigrant work, and all that stuff. And when I heard about the Arizona law and I had from Make the Road, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is this such a racist law becoming, you know, in Arizona? I'm like, what the hell? What are these people thinking? Like, it's so racist. Why hasn't this been rejected already? Why is it even being considered? So I'm like, I'm so mad. I'm like, you know, cursing up a store. And I'm like, what's being done around this? And I went to May Day. I went to the Immigrant Rights March in D.C. And, like, I saw some of my fellow classmates and stuff like that. And they had the anger, too. So I just, like, we're, like, having a solidarity with, you know, the youth and the LGBT movement. Like, yeah.
Pretty cool. Orlando?
Yeah, I'm Orlando Segura from Chicago. I think that one of the roles of racist laws and stuff like that is to actually get people to shut up and work, you know, to, you know, scare people away, scare them into political facility. And it arises to a point in which the role of a quote-unquote vanguard is to break that through. Like, for instance, the first workers who protested against Pinochet, or the first people who protested against whoever. You know, dictator was around, and the first people who just came out and said, I'm undocumented, I'm afraid, right, and break through, and through organization and protest to open that political space, like Mario was pointing out, you know, how that Ado was able to create a political space for people not to be afraid of politics and organizing and taking up politics as a tool for liberation, as a tool for fighting back, right? And I think that that is something that we have to take as a lesson from Edo and try to spread around the undocumented community. And I want to I want to add to the call that Jose does about organizing against deportations or against enforcement in general, because it's organizing against enforcement that we can break through and bring undocumented people into that organizing. At the same time, I have a question about Dream Act, and I would like people to speak about that, because I think that, as Mario was saying, it's very important to support the idea of protest, and protest as a mechanism for fighting back. At the same time, there is an aspect of the Dream Act that we do, I do not support. And here in Chicago, it was very complicated for us because it was put in terms of support or shut up and get out of the way. And we did. We get out of the way. Right? And I think that Nativo is here because from Los Angeles, Nativo didn't get out of the way and said, no, I want to support Kennedy. You know, want to support Kennedy and support also the people who's fighting, right? So I want to hear more people about that question, because yes, I'm in the spirit of fight of the Dream activists, but if they are going to shut the political debate out, and I wrap up with this, then that contradicts the very nature of ADO, which is about open political spaces for debate and not closing them down.
Thank you. Also, I forgot to mention that if somebody brings up a question, anybody on the floor can come back and take a stab at it. Okay, so the Brown?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing your stories, and I really appreciate individuals that come out in this case. But we have to also think of the U.S. intervention and the corporate imperialism that has basically left countries like Mexico on life support. The life support system of being able, having to rely on the United States and other countries in order to survive. And basically, the U.S. is just pulling the plug on all these immigrants who are living in the United States. And the misconception that I have within my peers, being saying that this is a state, you know, the states have the right to have whatever kind of laws they want, and that it's in Arizona, so it's not going to affect me here in New York, because I'm from New York, from the Rochester branch. And I'm like, you're completely diluted. This makes no sense what you're saying to me right now. You're going to tell me that this kind of act in Arizona is not going to affect the rest of the United States is ridiculous. Like, you have to understand right there in Massachusetts, right here in the East Coast, where we believe things are not going to occur, that, you know, we're all about, you know, this country was built on immigrants. How are we going to believe that this is not going to spread? But the thing is, this kind of action has also built a fire within a lot of people being angry that this is occurring. You know, why are we, you know, we need to resist. That's the thing. Resistance needs to occur. We need to continue going out, continue working with individuals, building coalitions. Like in Rochester, we have the Rochester Alliance for Immigrants' Rights. We go out there, we're protesting within the Amtrak, within the bus station. We're going out there because the cops are going out and really attacking people who are just trying to travel and move around, as my own work in New York State, which is a big big business there. That's what's going on. And a lot of what I say to my individuals that tell me, well, that's in Arizona. And I'm like, and you know, good for Arizona, leave Arizona. I was like, why don't you live there then? Go move over there, because you'll understand what criminalization is going on to individuals. The immigrants are being criminalized, mm-hmm. being treated like criminals, mm-hmm. being shackled. Are you serious? What's going on here? These are people who are trying to live a life, trying to, you know, survive, and, you know, that's what they're saying. The people, capitalism is putting individuals like the youth within this recession are being played that these immigrants are stealing their jobs, and this is, like, ridiculous. There's no way. A majority of, you have to read the social workers, that article broke it down, myth of all this misconception. Yeah. Read that, because that is the truth.
Okay. In the white.
Yeah. My name is Ronald from East Branch, and one thing I want to say is that we need to remember what is the lesson about immigrant rights movement backed by Democrats or corporations. what happened with Obama talking the screen? Nothing happened. Like, they didn't actually want to pass a reform or something. So we need a grassroots movement, and I'm glad that, you know, youth organizational movement is, you know, coming up now. So we need the youth to come to, like you said, you know, come to the communities, and not only come to the communities, but connect the fight for immigrant rights to another community, like the LGBT community, or going to the Haitian community, like the Middle Eastern people that, you know, are immigrants too. They're going to be affected by it if, you know, something like RS1 is going to pass. So I encourage, you know, the youth, because we might think, you know, people that are, like, working for 14 hours a day and, you know, they don't have time to be organized or something. Okay, go to the youth. They got the strength and the willingness to be fighting, coming out like you. So I definitely encourage you to, you know, talk to the communities, you know, make links, make more connections. You know, this movement to take off, because for instance, you know, in DC we just had a immigrant rights panel where we had representatives from the queer, like, you know, caucus, which is pretty cool. Like, you know, having all these movements around is like we need to gain strength. So I encourage you to go to communities, look for people who are interested in immigrant rights, civil rights, and they make, you know, this movement take off.
Excellent. Cool. Okay, so I'm going to take a last round of hand. If you want to get on the list, even if you might have already raised your hand, can you raise it again for a second? Oh, God. all right, we have about 10. So what's going to happen is we're going to keep our comments to, like, 2 minutes, and I'm going to be tapping on the podium here. To let you know to cut it already. Okay, so keep your hands raised because it was... oh, my God. Okay. Actually, we have Paul up next. Okay, you guys can put your hands
down. I'll just say something very brief, which is it isn't just the courage and the opening of this, opens up the space. It's also the pride. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed at all the demos is there are people carrying signs like brown and proud. Right. There's this sense of, like, not only am I not afraid anymore, but I have a pride in who I am as a DMT member. I think that's extremely important. That's a major shift. But the thing is, that's not just, that isn't just connected with a sense of, I'm me and I don't care about your struggles. Everybody's showing me their feelings about, I see how my struggle is connected to your struggle. And that is such a major political shift. Can't ignore, because it's easy to kind of say, well, look at what we're up against, look where we're coming from and how far we have to go. But we have to say, even though this is the germ of a new movement, this is, you know, this is just the beginning of something, you know, that can become very big. It's extreme. The shift has taken place politically in the minds of tens of thousands of people, and in particular young people, is significant. It isn't just young immigrants. That's what's important about it, about making connections. You look at all the polls in Arizona, there's a massive divide, a generational divide, about people's attitudes. Young people under 30, in the majority, are sympathetic to immigrant rights, and people over are not. And of course, I mean, there's a racial component with that and so on. But it's extremely important to understand. But I also think what's important, this is the last point, is that we need to know our history. We need to know the facts about you, because they use that to divide the working class and divide people against each other. We also need to know our history. Arizona was part of Mexico. The United States stole it.
Yeah.
and now they want to do this. This is bullshit. And the final point I wanted to ask about, if people knew about, because I think this is going to be really important, is that what I heard from an IMAW activist is that there are 25,000 Mexicans that have been recruited by the army so they can get a green card. So at the same time that they're talking about militarizing the border, where they might, those troops might even be sent to the border. So you could be recruited in Mexico for the U.S. Army to get a green card, and then be sent to the border to shoot at your own brothers and sisters. That's an explosive issue that we have to bring out.
Thank you. And the green in the back? The green shirt? Yeah.
Okay. My name's Anne. I'm from Boston too. There's several Boston people here. There was a history in Boston when somebody had said, you know, this country was built by immigrants. There was a time when there were signs in Boston that say Irish need not apply. And one of the most inspiring things over Memorial Day weekend was an immigrant rights rally that took Latino immigrant woman used that as a starting point to say, is that what we're going back to in Boston, and really trying to make the connection to a history of sort of also the blatant racism that's being used right now in the movement. And the other thing is, I'm an LGBT activist also, and I've been taking up the debate on making the connection between immigrant rights and LGBT rights. And actually, when we say as LGBT activists that they're not connected, we're actually excluding a whole number of LGBT people, because as people who've spoken, many queer immigrants actually come to this country because they can't. I want to touch base a little bit on things like comprehensive immigration reform, because back in February I went to a talk where they were connecting it to LGBT rights, and they were just launching it, and we had a Beltway guy from D.C. come and speak to us in Boston. And I've been watching how some of these acts, like the DREAM Act and United American Families Act, all try to dance around the subject, and I think that the grassroots activists that are actually taking this up are, unapologetic about what we're mm-hmm. really fighting for. Mm-hmm. But I think that there will be people who will see some of these acts as like an opening for me to start to comprehend how things can be different. But we have to be very patient sometimes to be able to talk about how each of these acts get carved up, chopped up, and always start from the point of criminalizing immigrants. Mm-hmm. And if we can have those patient discussions along the way and show the grassroots activism that the industry is really for it, I think we'll continue to grow this movement full broader.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I'm going to have to apologize to some of you guys because we're actually running out of time. So I'm going to have to cut down the list and just we're going to have like 3 or 4 more speakers who can speak. And then afterwards, there's going to be plenty of opportunities to speak with the youth, speak with each other at the meet and greet at the party tonight. So discussion will continue outside of here. Okay, so now I'm going to call in the back, the gray shirt.
Yes, my name is Matt Peeble. First, I wanted to express I'm tremendously proud of all of you for everything you should do. I would like, however, to articulate your views individually. I'm curious to know how you're defining the struggle around the DREAM Act, what the DREAM Act means to you, and how you're defining that struggle. How is that a component of the broader struggle for fair progress and immigration reform? Thank you.
Thank you. Maria Teresa?
I have 2 things that I am concerned. First of all, Obama created the notion of change. Change in education, immigration, labor law, etc. Now, my point is that after Obama failed to provide an answer, I realized that the movement was done. But every little fact is totally separate. We have the war, people against the war, education reform, and the polarization of the strike. That's really the problem is that we are totally quick in order to really create a grassroots movement that really put in question those illusions that they are selling. So what is going on now with the immigrant was totally embedded in the issues of immigration. But we don't put together that, for example, when we are talking about education, we have the privatization. It's a corporate education. But we are not taking into account that the poorest school today is the people that they are sending them to the world. So my question for you is that I'd like to see how you connect the issue of the war, how you connect the issue of immigration, how you connect with the issue of health, and how we can create this big umbrella that allow us to create a movement that really put in question those dreams that we have.
Thank you. Our last speaker here will be the woman in the orange. Mm-hmm.
My father picked up 2 jobs recently because
that, which he paid for 8 years ago. But he does not have a driver's license. The car title is not under his name. They arrested him. And after they arrested him, the police officer asked him if he was legal. Asked him if he was a citizen. Asked him if he needs help from the Mexican consulate. And after asking him this, he looked at my father in the eyes and asked him, do you know that I'm a police officer? His bond was $50,000. Here in Chicago, we pay 10%. My mother ran around the whole day looking for $5,000. The court system gave him 6 months, 180 days. And today,
okay, now we're going to give it back. They're going to say something. Try to answer your questions. Mario?
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, that's, I think, that's what happened to Jose. That's what happened to a bunch of us, you know. And it should be pointed out that the Polimigra is not only in Arizona, you know. I mean, it's implemented legally in Arizona, but the Polimigra is here, you know, on 26th Street, in Pilsen, whatever, what have you. So just really good discussion. The question that Nativo brought up of what does it mean to me for the Dream Act, and I know the sister here has been working for Dream Act, and that's what it means to me. To me, the Dream Act is crumbs, you know, is imperialist crumbs that say, well, you know, you have a good moral character, you went to school, you try to realize yourself as an American, as a good little immigrant, like, so now we're going to give you a path to legalization. But if you don't have the money to pay for college if you don't have the money to pay for college, which most immigrants do, most Americans don't have money to go to college. So you have it's a purely militarized bill that says, like, hey, there's 60,000 undocumented immigrants graduating from high school every year that have nothing to do but work low wage jobs. Let's swing them into the military. That's what the Dream Act is. But what it is to like the sister here is a fight. You know, it's something that the UC as a step forward. And that reflects that you know, a lot of our politics are not, you know, I think we need to be braver about our demands. We need to be a little more sober about what we're fighting for, you know. We're not fighting for a piece of the shitty pie, you know, that they set up for us. I'm fighting for freedom, you know. I want to feel free for once in my life. So I think the movement is going to have to address that, you know. When are we going to move past the Dream Act? When are we going to start fighting against deportations? When are we going to start fighting and talking about closing the border, getting the troops off of the border, you know, destroying that wall, you know? The politics of solidarity are key for us to advance, you know. Even within our organization, there are politics of identity, you know. Most of our activists are LGBT and immigrant and Latino, but they also have very nasty identity politics that exclude socialists, that exclude citizens. Oddly enough, so you have to argue that out, and you have to call it out whenever you see it. This we need to be internationalists about this. You know, this is a fight against capitalism, like Carmela said, and I'm glad to see that there's intermixing between protests for Gaza and protests for immigrant rights and LGBT, and that's more of what we need. You know, so everyone come out to Arizona, organize on July 29th, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mario. First of all, like, thanks Nativo for that question and Orlando about the Dream Act. And myself, like, I definitely would like to talk to you because I've heard your name all over the place. So Nativo, you know, I finally meet him. Who is he? My point of view about Dream Act, I'm more into the fight of the youth. I'm more into the actions that they, you know, have courage on developing all these, you know, great ideas. But, you know, Dream Act talks about conditional status for 6 years. You know, is this what I have been in the fight for? And have made sacrifice? You know, for me, that's a no. You know, I have done my part. Went to school, you know, got so and so great. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they don't even know they're undocumented until like farther down the line. So, you know, we're not criminals. We didn't ask to be here. So, you know, I deserve full rights. You know, I deserve to have papers just like anybody else. I don't deserve, you know, I'm not going to fight for, you know, have conditional status for 6 years and then figure out if they want to legalize me or not. You know, I want my rights and I deserve them. So, you know, all my support for the youth, you know, I myself, I'm a youth. You know, our group has a campaign for the Dream Act, yes. But, you know, in our group is, you know, we have different minds, you know, different people. Everybody thinks differently, and that's good about our group. Undocumented, citizens, queer, you know, straight, young, old, you name it. So we have it all. So, I mean, at the same time, we have a campaign for moratoriums on deportations, you know. At the same time, we're running a campaign for the Dream Act. We mentorship high school students. You know, we're talking with people. So I think our group has a strong people. We have strong people in our group. Also, like, you had a question, the one in the black, and I would like to hear your question.
I actually wanted to know how you guys were able to make people have the courage to come out and speak out in your allies, because I'm from Houston, and we've been trying to organize for many years. We have a huge Latino population, and our biggest problem is people are very, very afraid. People won't even come up to us when we go to their neighborhoods. They're just afraid to even talk to us.
Yeah, and you're right. We just took it from, and we saw the LGBTQ community. So, you know, and there was, we're not talking about 100 people, you know, coming out. We're talking about first 8 people coming out. So if you got 5 that are willing to stand up and say, I'm undocumented, I'm unafraid, and whatever comes, then you have more people coming after you. So it's just a matter of having a core group of people first, and then it's just, you're going to live this part. You know, and that's how it will be. You create a movement just like we did. You know, it was just 8 people that came out March 10th. But afterwards, it was like tens of youth just coming out. And that's it. Thanks.
Well, I'll tackle it, the Dream Act. I've been organizing for a while. I started in my university, but one of the motives why I started my university was because it was a working class university. It's Northeastern. It's very cheap. That's one of the reasons why I attended there. And, you know, I felt like, damn it, you know, all these kids are working really hard for their education. And I felt really, you know, not welcome, but yeah, I guess welcomed by them. And that's it. The Dream Act is actually one of the reasons why I didn't join IGIL at the first place right away. But one of the reasons why, I mean, the Dream Act is a perfect example of bad legislature. And you could take it piece by piece and you could deconstruct it. It repeats the same tactics, the same strategies that the oppressor uses on us. By saying good moral character, what kind of a good moral character does an undocumented person have? I gotta buy fake documents to work, to feed myself and help out my family, to pay for my education. I can't drive. legally. I can't do anything legally. I can't get an education. Everything about me, it's morally wrong according to this society. So what kind of good moral character are we left out with? When you talk about undocumented students, I'm one of the lucky ones that made it. I'm almost going to be done with my bachelor's degree, but I would throw my education away if I didn't realize that there's a lot of students that don't make it past high school that are undocumented. I mean, you're undocumented and you have to work early. You get caught on the way. You might live in a really crappy neighborhood. We're targeted. I mean, kids don't make it to college. And if you do, you drop out because you don't have money, because you got caught in some way. I mean, everything about us, like I said, it's illegal. Another part, the military clause. It's kind of like 1070, you know, SB 1070. It targets a group of Latino undocumented young people. So everything about it is completely wrong to me. I do not agree with it at all. But the reason why I joined IJO and I put up, because I'm going to be honest, I get annoyed by some of these dreamers because I feel that they don't have respect for people like our parents or kids that are forced, are kicked out by this system out of the education system. But it's not really that. As I've talked to some, and I had long arguments with them, I also realized that we cannot just throw away the little that they give us. We shouldn't settle for bad legislation, but we have to fight. And I think that I do better joining them and maybe pushing them to start thinking about other things that they're not seeing. Because I don't want to generalize or stereotype, but most of the students that are for the DREAM Act are students that have somewhat different experiences for the ones that didn't make it to school. So there's some things that they haven't seen, they haven't experienced, and therefore they think this way. So that's why it's important to join them. And okay, yeah, you're for the DREAM Act. You know, I don't think much of it, but I do think it's a step forward, a very tiny step. But, you know, I'll support you. I think I'm just smarter than that, and I know that, you know, it's not going to help a lot of people. Yeah, that might seem a little arrogant. Another thing, I forgot the lady's name.
Teresa?
Yeah, that she brought. How do we connect all of these things? The war, the education cuts. Well, guess who doesn't get an education? Guess who goes to war? Guess who doesn't benefit from all the budget cuts and social programs? Working class people. That's how we connect it. Immigrants are targeted because of their undocumented status, which makes it makes our oppression legal. But if you look at it, we're all being oppressed. And if you don't see that, I don't know what world you're living in or what country you're living in. And last, I think what you said about the fear of people speaking out, I always think that fear is ignorance. I don't see anything behind it. And that's why there's racism, because it's pure ignorance. If you try to make sense out of racism, you'll get nowhere. It's based on irrationality. It's based on a feeling, which is hate. And hate doesn't have any back to it. And that's why SB 1070 is happening, because of lack of arguments. People are being, you know, they're letting people spread their hate because they don't have any good arguments to back each other up. So I think that it goes back to knowing your history. If we knew our history, that ignorance would be gone, and then we wouldn't fear it. And I think that's what happens with a lot of the youth, that sadly you come out of school learning nothing, especially high school, and then the 2 years of college you barely learn anything, and then you keep going and maybe you might start learning something, you know. But a lot of us have met other people and have experiences that have made us realize how fucked up things are, and we're learning. And as we're learning, we're becoming a little more radical, and we're actually saying things. We're actually expressing. As we're learning our history, we're becoming angry, and we're saying shit. And I'm not afraid, and I'll come out. And I think that's part of the whole thing.
The preceding program was a production of WeAreMany.org, a website dedicated to publishing radical and activist media that promotes a better understanding of today's world while also putting forward a vision for a better future. We Are Many is a project of the Center for Economic Research and Social Change. To learn more about this program or to find others like it, check out WeAreMany.org.